Stacey said we have to make a drinking game where whenever you do a Zelda reference, we have to drink.
Perfect. I love it. as long as you have to drink and I don't. Hey, welcome to episode 164 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm Nick. I'm here with Blake.
Hey, Nick.
And Paul.
Hey.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm all right. Video games, huh?
Yep.
What about them?
What about them?
I played some video games.
Really?
Once.
Wow. Tell me about that.
It was good.
Nice. Well, that's all we got time for. No, I'm kidding. Blake, let's start with you. What have you been playing?
I have been playing the Diablo beta.
Okay.
And it's pretty good.
Paul?
I've been playing the Diablo beta as well, and Big Ambitions.
All right, let's talk about the Diablo beta, because I haven't played it.
Mm.
And I want to hear your opinions. Hit me with them.
Well, what did you think about it, Paul?
I played last weekend and this weekend. Last weekend I played a barbarian and then got like a sorcerer and a rogue, something like rogue, to like very low levels.
Mm.
I had a lot of fun on the barbarian. It was like my first character and I was really paying attention to the story, doing everything slow, talking to people.
Yeah.
The story itself and all the cinematics and stuff are like fantastic.
Mm. Yeah,
it's.
They always have great production values.
Yeah,
always great production values.
And the story itself seems cool, and I really liked that side of it. As far as combat goes and like skill builds and stuff, it seems a little bit lackluster.
Mm.
Everything looks reasonably flashy.
Yeah,
and reasonably good, but not crazy. Given that it's like a brand new action RPG that's like just coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was really expecting, but.
Yeah. I don't know what you're expecting either, because it is a Blizzard game and Blizzard is notorious for trying to keep like system spec requirements pretty low.
Yeah. I suppose that's fair.
Are you saying like flashy as in just like effects, or you mean.
Just the look and feel of it. There's a lot of detail in towns that is like amazing once you pay attention to like you go into a room and it's like fully decorated. Yeah. There's all these little knickknacks and things. But then you go out into like the open world where you're running around doing quests and you get massive stretches of space with just like a bit of cavern or cave on the side.
Yep.
Nothing else around. And like for some reason there's no enemies either.
You get I'm okay with that though. Like I don't like the vibe of like, as soon as you leave town, just everything is attacking you like constantly. Every 2 seconds you've got new enemies. It's just this constant stream. I like a little bit of downtime and stuff like that. Like,
okay.
I like after there seems like there's packs, right? Like there's a big, you'll walk out of town and it'll be a bit of a lull for a while. Then you'll encounter a pack of monsters and then there'll be a little bit of a lull and then another pack. And then you might find like a side dungeon or like one of those like event things that you have to like a timed event.
I really did like the events. Those are differing enough and fun and feel quite rewarding because they drop the memory orbs, which you can then go trade for a chance at a legendary.
I didn't get any of that. Like legendary stuff. Like I had one of my mates I was playing last night and he was telling me about like all the gear stuff that you can do where like, because there were side dungeons that it tells you on the map what the reward will be.
Yep.
And if it's not for your character, if it's not for your class, there's something you can do. You go to some vendor and do something and it like
rerolls it.
Something like that. I don't know if it's a full reroll or it might just be like it gives you a resource that goes towards like getting
what it
something.
Does is it unlocks these things. I think they're called aspects. And there will be one. There's like one for each ability for each class.
Mm-hmm.
And those ghosts just become a thing you can craft onto gear.
Right.
Using resources from breaking down other gear.
Yeah, yeah.
So they become like a token that you can use to make a legendary from a regular piece of equipment.
Yep.
But for a specific skill?
Yeah.
Mm.
It'll be like a particular interaction with a skill that might make that skill. I think I saw one for Necro that caused enemies to be sucked into your ground AoE thing.
Right.
Mm. You regularly just have the normal ground AoE thing, deals a bunch of damage.
Yep.
Pulls enemies into
a black hole kind of
yep.
thing. Gear. How many tiers of gear are there? You got your normals, you got your magics. You got some rares.
I think it's
then there's legendary and unique.
And there's uniques. Yeah. And uniques are below legendaries, right?
I think uniques are above legendaries. You can't get them. The only thing I know about legendaries, because I haven't seen any in the betas at all,
okay,
is that they start dropping from like world tier 3. When you start the game, you can
How far through the game is that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like we haven't seen yet.
I see. So when you start
a character, it allows you to choose one of two tiers.
Mm.
It's like regular and veteran.
Oh, right.
I think veteran is tier 2.
Oh,
yes. And then there's another difficulty you can unlock on top of that, and then another one.
Yeah.
And there's a tooltip on one of the loading screens that said, starting from tier 3, you could get, what do they call that? They call them like build enabling uniques or something.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't got uniques either? Just
legendaries.
Okay, I see.
Legendaries are really common.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. How many stats are on a legendary?
Maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
A legendary is just a regular item with whatever one of those skill modifiers is.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about... one of the comparisons... I have not played the D4 beta, but I've seen comparisons to D4 as it's D3 and Immortal combined.
I haven't played D3 in so long that I honestly don't really remember most of the item system.
Yeah, I think the item system was pretty simple, but I don't think it was nearly as simple as Immortal. So that was the thing that was worrying me. It's like, okay, ultimately an action RPG lives and dies by its item system for the most part, or at least... it's a very important part because it's the thing that people chase, right? So I'm curious about how they handle their itemization. Mm. I had seen some blog posts like a few years ago about their itemization, and it led me to believe that they were not still quite understanding what it is that makes a chase item, especially because I think it was the blog post that talked about being able to make any item into a legendary or any item into a unique.
Yep. So they have, into a legendary for sure. I haven't seen anything about making the uniques.
So to me, that feels at odds with what you want out of an action RPG.
I don't disagree, but there is a weird thing with the game where those mods that are on the legendary, for the most part, more important than the rest of the things because will change how your skill interacts with other skills and with enemies. And once you've got a few of them, you base your build around those skill interactions.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you couldn't just place the legendary thing onto any item, you would be waiting forever to get another one that does the same thing, or you would change your build once you got another one.
I guess it's like the idea in PoE, right? If you get like a good unique early on and you base your build around it, but then you outgrow the power of that unique.
Yeah.
But that's by design, right?
Yeah.
It's a trade-off there.
Yes, but this is, I guess you could say, also by design, that they're like, no, we want you to be able
to
keep
that. We don't want you to trade off.
Yeah, we want you to keep that same thing going through that whole game.
The difference with PoE is that you've got like all these support gems and all these things.
Yeah,
that,
it sounds like those are the support gem role, basically.
Yes. So without it, I just don't see how, like, essentially the modifier on the legendary is your support gem.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all you're really doing by making another rare legendary is socketing a support into it.
Yeah.
I actually like that way of thinking about it. It makes it.
So then I guess, and so you haven't seen any uniques yet? Have they posted anywhere?
Like, I haven't looked at any of the marketing stuff.
Because I'm curious, what if a legendary is essentially a rare with a skill modifier?
Mm.
What does a unique do? Like that's my big question. Mm. And is that where the chase lives? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
The thing that from early marketing materials and blog posts that intrigued me the most was their, I think they called it the Paragon board.
Yeah, that's all locked currently.
It's locked?
Yeah, you can't see it.
You can't even...
Yeah, the tab is there. The tab is grayed out and you can't even look at it.
That's interesting.
Because you can only get those at after level 50 as well, I think.
What? Oh, no.
Also, so the skill tree, right?
Dear. Yeah.
Did you get a what was the max level for beta? Was it
25?
25. Did you get a character to 25?
Yeah, I got the barbarian to 25.
Did you unlock the full skill tree then?
No, you can't get the last thing. But the last thing is just pretty minor. None of it is it's not a new skill.
Yeah.
It's just a mastery.
Oh, right.
That changes something else.
That's weird, because if you're able to almost completely unlock the skill tree at the end of the first act.
Yep.
What are you doing for the rest, I guess?
That's a really good question.
Are you just putting more points in
skill? Is that the full skill tree?
That's a good question. Is it the full skill tree?
Oh, that's an interesting point, actually.
Is there some sort of ascendancy style system, or is there more branches to the skill tree, or is that when you unlock the Paragon points?
My assumption was that everything after that was going to be in Paragon.
Yeah.
The weird thing, though, is that where you get up to in the beta, you have enough points to start, but you can only use, I think, 5 active skills. Is it 5?
Maybe. I've heard
6, but I don't.
Maybe it was 6.
Something I've heard. So who knows?
Which sort of...
I just want to interrupt. This is a classic moment where we are just veering into unknown territory. Not bothering to look it up.
I was literally playing it an hour ago. And I'm like, how many skills do I have on my bar?
How do I feel like I know more about some of these things than you, Blake? I haven't played the game. Anyway.
You just go. You just swing whip and kill monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, what was I going to say?
It was skill number.
Oh,
skills.
Yeah. So you basically have enough skill points to unlock more skills than you'd be able to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of find yourself trying to find places to sink points, because you can put up to 5 points into a skill to increase its damage.
Yep.
But after the first point, the very, very minor, 1 or 2% damage increases. So I found myself not doing that at all.
And you've got the other, I guess, passives for that skill that that supports it, right? Like, you can put points in that, but you can
there's one node behind it.
Yeah.
That you don't make a decision on, and then there's 2 nodes behind that, and you get to pick one of them.
Yeah.
So that's 3 points to get probably everything you wanted to get out of the skill.
Yeah, it seems like by the time you've unlocked the full skill tree, you kind of have a build that you want. And then after that, in whatever act 2 or 3 or however many acts they're going to be, what are you doing with new skill points? Well,
do you even get new skill points? If we look back at Diablo Immortal, there was no skill point system. There wasn't even a stat point system. You just unlocked and automatically leveled up skills.
Yeah, that's right.
And they slowly introduced some customization aspects through gems, and then through those I forget what they're called. They're little skill modifying tokens. But they weren't skill modifying in a great way. It was a little extra damage on this skill. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I've forgotten that.
Charms or something like that.
I do remember.
It was a random class's random skill does more damage. And that was, I think, the intended chase, where it was you're not likely to get a bunch of your class skills on here. let me ask you a question. When you're running around the world, do you see other players?
Yes.
That sounds terrible. Now
they're not always.
Let me back up a little bit. In terms of the lore, are they referring to there being lots of other people running around? Or is it always is it like you're the savior?
You're not the savior. Like okay. I don't get the. I mean, I haven't gone all the way through the campaign, so
I don't think it's alluded to you being like the chosen one.
Yeah, which I
could be wrong, but
I do like at the start too. It's very much you're not a chosen one. You're just some person.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little more on board with that. But the thing that really bothered me about Immortal was like you're meant to be this like super savior dude, and there's like 40 dudes running around the same area doing the same thing.
I mean that's the MMO problem as well. Yes. Like, you know, you're the savior and there's
at least in the MMOs, you're often starting off as a grunt.
Yep.
And at least for a lot of MMOs, they kind of embrace the fact that you're actually not the savior. Mm. You're one of many saviors.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you and all your friends saved the world. Thank you very much.
Diablo's had multiplayer since like Diablo 1 though.
It has, but it's, not like it's this. never no. It's always been opt-in.
Yeah.
And this... it's always made the fact that it's like limited to, you know, up to 5 people or whatever. And you're the only ones running around makes the world, which is very hostile, feel isolated and
you have that though, but the multiplayer aspect of it out in the world is like phasing in and out.
Yeah, see, I just
so
don't
it's
like
it's
that.
It's around. You'll encounter these events out in the world, which those can you can have other players show up, or you can like walk into it, and a player is in the middle of fighting something, and you can join in.
Yeah.
But then once you leave that sort of vicinity, like you don't see any other players.
Okay.
Except for
only
in town.
It's only around events. You don't see other players just in the wild?
I've definitely seen other players just in the wild.
I've only ever seen other players in the wild near events. Like there's almost always an event nearby.
Either way, I kind of
or like a quest, like a side quest thing. Like a side quest like some monster that you got to kill or something. Mm. That's another time where I've seen other players around, but it's always been around some sort of point like that. It's never just been like in the absolute wild where there's nothing around.
I don't know.
You know, and certainly not in dungeons. Never in dungeons.
No, I've never seen anyone else in a dungeon.
Yeah.
The instancing thing is kind of weird. Like, obviously, it's open beta, closed/ open beta. So they are like working through some performance things with just a massive flood of people, which is to be expected.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
And I think they've actually done quite well. But you do notice. They're doing like seamless instances where you run through an area and then it puts you into a different instance.
Mm.
How seamless was it for you?
Yeah, so you get rubber banded if one of the instances was not loading.
Right.
There was a point last night where the main town, there's a eastern exit.
Mm.
It was like an invisible wall. I couldn't go past it.
Sometimes you got to run back and then run back out.
It was, and the crazy thing was I was playing on, what is it? The first tier, right? Easiest. Mm. And then you can switch. You can go to the statue in town and you can switch to the next tier. So I'd done that. And only on that tier was I encountering this invisible wall.
The thing that I was getting at, though, was that if that whole area is a new instance, then it's likely everyone's loading into the same instances there. So you might just happen to be not bumping into people.
Right.
Because
maybe.
Given where those rubber banding things happen, it was always at like a path going into an area.
I will say I've never seen a player fade out, you know, like you might expect from a system that I'm describing.
Yeah.
I should, next time I play, I'm just going to follow a player and see what happens.
Just chase them.
I
would not be surprised if there's like a 100 player world limit or something like that, and they don't fade out because they're permanently there, and you don't generally see them because they're fairly spread out in the world, large enough to support.
I
would personally find it immersion breaking to just start bumping into people in my Diablo experience.
Well,
although it really depends on how they framed the narrative.
Most of the time, it's fine. Like the narrative is like, it's pretty what would you say, like, what's the opposite of, like, Chosen One? It's pretty low, you know?
Low fantasy?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you don't feel like you're the only one that can do this or whatever. Like, so seeing other people doing the same thing, you just feel like you're one person in this world. Yeah, so... I don't know. It might be okay later on in the story. I don't know if it's
become,
like,
the chosen one.
Become the chosen one, and then it's gonna be weird.
Yeah. I mean, it might be fine. It just feels very. It runs to me contrary to the Diablo aesthetic and the Diablo, like, intent of the world is in ruins and everything's.
It definitely is more fun when there's no players around.
Yeah, I also had one dude just kite a whole bunch of enemies into me because he was just running through, and they just stopped focusing him, turned to me, and there was like a bunch of freeze dudes, and I just got frozen and just died.
Thanks, guy.
Do they have hardcore mode?
Yes.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah, actually, that is
hardcore mode in a multiplayer.
Yeah. Setting.
Okay.
Oh my god.
That I wonder how they're going to handle that. Because it sounds like you can just straight up grief people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It'd be interesting if, like, there was a PvP, like, serve, like mode where
PvP
you can just...
There's PvP areas, I believe. I haven't found any yet, but it did. There was, saw something about it.
Okay.
PvP was a big point of contention in Diablo Immortal. Because people were very excited for
pay
it.
To win.
Yes, exactly.
Wasn't there someone was telling me that there's a player in Diablo Immortal that has spent so much money that they just outrank everyone else, and so he cannot find a match for PvP.
That happens in a lot of competitive games. He probably can. It probably just takes a long time.
Maybe.
I don't know what their underlying matchmaking system works like, but we've had matchmaking systems on Path of Exile.
But that's like a skill-based thing, like in other games that have that sort of matching, right? Yeah. It's like it's skill or tier-based or whatever. Yeah. This is just you bought your way to the top, and now you have no one to play with.
But I would presume that there's some sort of underlying matchmaking that doesn't rely on how much you spent or what your gear level is.
So at first he would have had a bunch of matches, but as soon as... Because his gear overpowers everyone else, he would have just, like, face rolled through it all and then easily waltzed his way to the top of the ladder.
Now it probably takes an hour for him to find a match.
Yeah, yeah. But and it'll have to be with somebody else who also waltzed their way to the top of the ladder, and it's just
not
like...
Which really depends on how their matchmaking system works.
Yeah,
it could
yeah.
be that it is just checking for your, like, win-to-loss ratio or your ELO rating or whatever, some sort of thing that is an extrapolation of your actual matches played and not... A look at your gear score.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it might just be looking at your gear score. I suspect it probably doesn't look at your gear score because they probably want high spending players fighting non-spending players
and
feeling great about it.
I don't know. I'm just speculating, but it probably is win-loss. It's not, it wouldn't be gear rated.
Yeah. So in that case, I mean, this happens in like League of Legends and other competitive games with like ELO ratings or whatever, where you get to a point where, it just takes a very long time to
find
other players because there's just so few people in that similar score bracket.
I get it. It's just the thing with Immortal is that you
pay to get
there. You just pay to get there, which is...
Yeah. But it was just kind of a weird irony to have paid so much money that you no longer can play the thing you want to play.
Yep.
But that's the system they built. And good for them.
Yep. Well, I mean,
I guess it works in that guy paid that much money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably fueling Diablo 4. So, that's great.
I remember reading about, you know, there's like those gems that you had to rank up.
Yep.
And at some point, if you like max them out, you can, there's like a whole other subsystem of progression.
Oh, God.
Like the gems. Open up slots or something like that, and you can put more gems in them. I don't remember. It was bizarre. It was like no one even knew about the secondary progression system because it took like $120,000.
Oh my god!
To reach it.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So far, playing the D4 beta, will you buy it? Oh, you already have.
Well, I already
have, right?
Because I bought it.
Yeah. Why?
Well, here's like it is.
Is it research? Is it pleasure?
It's both, because like I have played Diablo 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Diablo 2. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
And you're still chasing that dragon. Still chasing that dragon, but also, you know, a bit of research as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just cool to see. I don't know. It's just. Yeah, it just seems like it was a given. Like, of course I was going to buy it. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah, that's the case for me as well. Yeah. Like, I can't claim research or anything.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I just, there's a new Diablo game. I'm going to play the new Diablo game.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I grew up playing Diablo. I played it,
sure.
Diablo 1 when I was like 13 or something. And
did you grow up playing Sonic?
Yes.
Do you buy every Sonic game?
No, but I didn't play anywhere near as much Sonic.
Yeah, I see.
See, you must. What's that game for you that you grew up playing every time they? Yes, for Zelda.
I don't think it is Zelda, because I only really got into Zelda in my like adult years.
Right.
Like I had them. My brother bought them, and I was always kind of banned from playing them.
Oh, really?
Well, okay. I was the little brother who would beat games before the big brother.
Oh no!
Who bought them. if given the chance.
Yeah.
And I was often put into a holding pattern because my brother tended to play through games very slowly and often would never finish them.
Oh yeah.
And so I would have to always stay behind his progression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the best example of this was he bought like Final Fantasy VII on the PC.
Yeah.
And he got, I don't know, up to like, you know, the big canon city in Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
On that first continent.
Yep.
Yep.
I think he got up to there, maybe a little bit past there, and I wasn't allowed to progress past there. And I was just grinding in that area and breeding chocobos.
Oh, my God.
And I think I was like level 30 or 40 in a level 20 area.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, I was just like, he said, fine, go ahead, beat it. And then I played the rest of the game. But this was a common trend.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Zelda's.
Yeah.
He generally would beat Zelda games, but it would just take a really long time.
But what is that game for you now that if they released a new version, you would just say, I'm buying it without even thinking?
I don't know that there is one.
Elder Scrolls?
I'll wait and see how Elder Scrolls 6 is looking.
Hmm.
I should say that I would also buy any Final Fantasy game if they're like main series.
Any.
And I've been like burnt on those a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like I've been burnt as well. And I've broken that habit where it's like I don't tend to auto buy. I'd say maybe the 3D Mario games are probably about as close as it gets to an auto buy. And that's just because like they have never put a foot wrong. They've always been amazing, kind of groundbreaking platformer experiences. Other than that, I genuinely can't think of them.
I probably have a couple games like StarCraft. If they put out a new StarCraft, I would auto buy it.
Not for me.
StarCraft was like, I guess it's all just like, what did you play a lot as a kid? And like StarCraft and Diablo were around the same time. Sure. And I played them like constantly.
Did you buy all of the StarCraft expansions for StarCraft 2?
Actually, here's the thing. StarCraft 2, I didn't. I got bored of it.
That's sort of this is what I'm getting at, I guess.
Yeah.
Is like, but a lot of the games that you remember are very different to the games of.
But also the thing is, like, I played a lot of Diablo 2, but I also never finished it because I got bored of it. And then Diablo 3, I also never finished that because I got bored of it.
You never finished Diablo 2 or 3, and yet you instantly bought Diablo 4. So take me through that thought.
Maybe this is the one I'll finish.
So let me understand. You buy early access games, which they themselves are not finished. Oftentimes the creators get bored and don't finish it. And then you are also auto-buying games that you haven't finished because you get bored of them.
Yeah, but this is a general... I think we have talked about this is a general thing for me where I don't finish games because I get to a point where I feel like I've won and I feel like I've gotten everything out of it.
You do play games... you often, will, if given the chance, will set a game up
to so never
it,
end.
So it can't be finished.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, in line.
I mean, Dark Souls, right? Dark Souls is probably an auto buy for me. But I've also never finished a Dark Souls game.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think you need to finish games, though.
You finished Zelda.
Yeah.
What was the last game? Zelda. For shame, first of all. And second of all, shame on you. What is the last game you finished, Blake?
Maybe it was Zelda. I'm trying to think of, like, what games have I played since then? When did I finish Zelda?
Any other game besides Zelda that you finished in the last, like, 2 or 3 years?
I finished Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
I finished the God of War, last one. Not
Ragnarok?
Yep. No. Oh, the one before.
God of War.
Yeah.
The one from
2016 or something? That one.
Not the current
one.
Not God of War, but God of War.
Yeah.
Great.
The God of War?
I hate that name, by the way. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
What else have I finished? I finished Life is Strange. I finished those.
Yep. Those didn't bore you.
I liked those because they were quick. Firewatch finished.
Yep. These
are all like 4 hour experiences.
But God of War wasn't, right?
No.
And neither was Horizon Zero Dawn.
No, but
what kept you going through those?
The story.
Okay.
Oh, Jedi
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order, finished that. And also, that's a game where it was only the story keeping me going because I hated the combat.
Okay.
So and I'm really going to buy the next one knowing that I'm going to hate the combat.
Why?
I like Star Wars, man. I'm into Star Wars now.
And they've never put a foot wrong, am I right, guys? Only good products coming out of the Star Wars license. Only good products and good movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've played a sequel Star Wars game.
I
haven't seen most of the movies.
I got so into during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, I never saw the last Star Wars movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, you're not missing anything.
Exactly. This is what. But this is kind of my point. Is like, I find it interesting that you are strongly attached to these
IPs.
Yeah. Series or whatever.
Yeah.
That have failed you in the past.
Yep.
And yet
I keep buying them.
Insist on buying them. And I have I've broken that habit. Perhaps to a too great a degree.
Yeah.
Where it's just like I've kind of tuned them out almost. Paul.
Yo.
Do you finish games?
For the most part, no.
Okay. What was the last game you finished?
I was trying to think of that. I know I finished the first Horizon. And like I've done things like gotten through a couple of boss cells and dead cells where you're just increasing difficulty each time.
I would consider those finished.
In that case, I've done that with
you feel like you've won? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's beaten the boss.
So
he's won. He has won. So he's actually won.
Into Blake. The Gungeon, I... Are you familiar with the format of Enter the Gungeon?
I know that there's a gun that shoots other guns.
There is?
Yeah. That's the only
you are
thing.
A gun that shoots other guns. Well, oh, wow. You can shoot guns. Okay. No, sorry, you're a bullet.
Oh, what? You're a bullet that shoots guns?
Yeah.
Holy.
But what I was going to say is Enter the Gungeon, I've played hundreds of hours of.
Mm.
I've beaten the final boss like 6 or 7 times, but there's a sequence afterwards where it strips away all your upgrades and you play through a little story bit for that character in order to unlock that character's past. Mm. And I have never done that.
Whoa. Mm.
Like hundreds of hours of this is game. It was like one of my most highly rated games.
Yeah. Is it because that part is too much of a like change up of what you were used to?
And I just choke. I choke every time.
Mm. Yeah, the pressure's on. Interesting.
So kind of beaten that?
Yeah, I was
also kind of
beaten.
Not.
Mm. Like, I think if you beat the boss, did you see a credit screen?
No. Okay. You've got to. The entire storyline is to kill the past, and you kill the big dragon at the end, and then you go through the portal, and you've got to do like this little side.
Interesting.
Bit.
So you haven't beaten it?
No, don't think so.
Oh wow.
Well, I feel bad for both of you. You gotta beat your games.
Maybe
but story games I mostly don't finish.
Yeah.
So it seems to me, Blake, that the thing that tends to drive you to the end of a game is the story.
Yeah.
when one exists and is compelling.
Yep, yep.
Otherwise, you will just play something aimlessly until you're bored of it.
Yep, pretty much.
Interesting. So Diablo, you like the story so far. Do you think you'll finish it?
I actually haven't. That's the question, right? Yeah. Do I think I'll finish it?
That was the question.
That's the question.
Yep.
Yeah. Correct. That is a question.
That is the question.
Yep. I'll be realistic and say probably not.
Paul, do you think you'll beat it?
I will almost certainly finish that game.
Yeah.
But I doubt I'll be playing it a month after its release.
I expected I would beat Immortal, and I never did because I got bored.
After that last episode where we talked about Immortal, where I was like, oh, I'm definitely still going to play it.
Yeah.
Same thing. Blake added each other as friends.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to never play that game again.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played it after that either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Paul, you mentioned you've been playing a game called Big Ambition.
Big Ambitions.
Ambitions, sorry. Yep. So Tell me about it.
It's a early access game.
Yep.
You know how I was talking about how I wanted like a...
I've already bought it.
Have you really?
No.
I want sort of like a casual game where you like build something.
Okay.
This is like a, you build businesses in a city.
Oh.
And you've got to like micromanage all the, like, so you start out and it's like someone in your family's just died and your uncle calls you and he's like, hey, go to the bank and get a loan.
Yeah.
And then, hey, I'll give you a car. And then you like.
Wait. Your uncle dies. And then someone calls you and tells you to get a loan. And you're like, okay.
Someone in your family dies.
Just a telemarketer calls you.
You to go
get a loan.
He's like, it's time to get things in order or something.
Your mother's dead, son.
I wasn't paying that much.
Go get a loan. It's time for you to move out.
I mean, that might have been it, actually.
You're an adult now and you need to put away childish things and get a bank loan.
Yeah.
And he's like,
you have
get
a mortgage now.
Yeah.
He's like, rent this place and you're going to start a gift shop.
Okay.
So he's telling you to do this.
Yeah. And then you've got to go buy the shelves and you place them in the store. And then you go and buy cheap gifts and then you put them on the shelves and this then you buy great. A till.
So it's real like small business simulator.
At the start, yeah.
Oh,
it sounds
yeah.
A
and then
bit
it's like, okay, so get some employees.
Yeah.
And then you train your employees up and then you have them man the till. And then you're like, you're like, okay, well, now I need expensive jewelry. And you've got to like then, not jewelry, gifts. And then so you've got to like make sure that you're always picking up and delivering enough of the gifts. And then you end up. Getting people to do that, and then you go buy another shop.
I honestly really like the sound of this.
Exactly like my kind of game. So there is a game from I think it was about year 2000 or so.
Mm.
It was called Monopoly.
Oh right, yeah. I've heard of this.
Really?
Yeah.
It was
Transformer themed, right? Or Harry Potter themed?
No,
here's the thing.
It was licensed off of. It was a licensed PC game, so it was like based on the board game, except that it was nothing like the board.
Oh, what really?
It was nothing like the board game.
Oh.
It was you'd have city blocks, and you would buy properties.
Yeah.
There was like no dice rolling or anything. It was just like you had money.
Mm.
You bought a property, and then you decide what you build on that property, and there are lots of little citizens running around. And they all have their wants and desires and dislikes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And they have their agenda for the day. And they have, like, age ranges and they have schedules. And they will either go on your property and spend money or not. And it's about, like, establishing growing businesses and like, being a badass landlord.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is that, but without – you can't see the people all running around. But you can see, like, graphs of how desirable your shop is to go into.
Yeah.
And
so you're watching, graphs like, go up and the numbers go up. Oh, man.
And then like, you can want little hire meeples. An HR person.
Oh,
then,
my God.
And you get them to help manage your employees and you get like a logistics operator and you start like trying to make sure that you're – because initially when you realize you don't have enough time to do the deliveries yourself, you got to go get like a delivery driver and then start making sure.
Dude, I really am into this.
But I want to see the people. That's the thing. I want to see the people coming into my shop.
You see the people in the shop.
Okay.
You just don't see them running. Oh, no, you do see them run. You see people running around outside, but they don't have like wants or desires or anything.
Okay.
It's just like a world.
Mm.
I've been craving. I have this itch for that Monopoly game that has not been scratched in a very long time.
I think
after this podcast, I'm going to show you this game because it's incredible. It was like Infogrames before they went under. And so this sounds right up my alley. How much was it?
$30, New Zealand.
And it's early access?
It is early access. Okay. They have recently had an update. They also have like an update schedule where it's like you open the game and it's like 59 days until the next patch kind of
thing. Oh, really? Like, hey, that's really, really good.
Developer timeline and stuff. And also what's in the game now, I've probably played like 10, 15 hours of. It's got... The early access part is that it seems like they're going to make the city like four times larger.
Oh, wow.
And currently you only have like this one part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But the one part of the city that you've got is like enough for a game.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Like
So can you like start other franchises as well? Of your,
so like,
and you'd need to hire people to manage all that, and it's just, and then you and just you become just this
growing
like,
and you can even eventually, like, instead of renting the buildings, buy the buildings, you can just straight send outright purchase offers for existing businesses and stuff.
Oh my god!
So I'm guessing the end game of the game is to own the city.
Yep. Oh my god.
Very Monopoly.
Mm. I really like it. Yeah. It sounds great.
I'm keen.
I was just immediately hooked.
Yeah.
It's as far as the early access side of things goes, there are some like weird UI things and some things that are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of the things that are annoying are meant to be.
Like taxes?
It's just a loud buzzing whenever you log in. It's like, and it doesn't stop.
No, well, so like you make money per day kind of thing. Mm. And then sometimes you're like trying to hire a new person. You need to train them up. Training happens per day.
Mm-hmm.
So... there's no way to just like fast forward time. What you've got to do is you've got to go sleep.
Yeah.
And you can sleep for up to 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
But then like your character will get hungry and stuff. Mm. But
oh, wow. There's like that level of stuff as well.
Yeah, because what? I mean, you can run into any one of those shops and like man the till and your dude can be he's tired. Walking to- Yeah, your dude can be hungry. Like,
can you imagine my way? Can you imagine that if Jeff Bezos just walks into an Amazon store and is like, get out of my way. I'm man.
Hang on. Like, in what universe does Amazon have stores?
Well, you know, they have the fulfillment centers. Just walks in and starts driving a forklift around.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Or controlling the robots. Forklift.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, though. You could go buy a truck, you could go pick up the goods from one place and deliver them at another place, and then you're the delivery driver.
Wow.
Okay, well, it sounds like I'm going to be buying this. I want to quickly talk about a game I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Prey.
Yeah,
which like spelled P-R-A-Y, but it's not. It's P-R-E-Y.
Is that a type of spelling pray, though?
P-R-A-Y?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's prayer.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. But you also spelled big ambition as big ambisound. So I guess I should thankful that you didn't screw it up more.
It doesn't pop up as a spelling mistake, though.
I guess so, not.
So there you go. The
shortening of ambient sounds.
Ambisound, huh? So Prey. Have you guys played it?
No.
No.
Do you know anything about it?
I know a little bit about it, that there's like shapeshifter things. Is that, or is this a different
play? Yeah. So it's like, I guess the term is immersive sim.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Tell me.
It's, did you ever play like Deus Ex, the original?
Yeah.
Not Human Revolution.
No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how it's like you have like lots of different skill options and lots of different items and all these things and lots of ways to approach a problem.
Is it
is all Hitman, of them are valid?
Is Hitman in that kind
I'm
of vein?
I'm not sure. I've never actually played a Hitman game. But it's the sort of game where, you know, you have to get to a different room, say. And you could pick the lock on the door, or you could find a key card, or you could kill someone who has a key card, or you could just follow someone through the door like, stealthily, or maybe there's a vent that you can crawl in through, or you can break the window, or you can blow up a wall.
There's lots of things. Yeah,
all of these options are considered valid.
And is does it feel like an actual living world where like NPCs are doing things and not just sort of like
not necessarily. No. Because it's kind of it's got a horror vibe. And so you're generally alone.
Okay.
In Prey, it's got a really great intro. I don't really want to spoil it, but once you get into the meat of the game, you're in essentially an abandoned space station.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people are dead. And there are these aliens called typhoids.
Right.
Or typhons? Typhons. Because typhoid is a disease. Typhons. And they come in different shapes and sizes. And one type of them is mimic.
Mm.
And mimics will look like a nearby object.
Yep.
Which makes it really
terrifying.
Quite scary to be leaving a room.
Yeah.
Because you can be trying to pick up something and it's actually going to bite your face off.
Oh, my God.
But the game is really... I've been playing it. It came out in 2017.
Mm.
Really, it's a good time.
It had... I don't know the full story, but it had an interesting development cycle, right? Where it's basically... Because there was a E3 demo of it years and years ago. And then when the game actually... And then after that, there was nothing about it. And then when the game actually came out, completely different game.
Yes, there's a good reason for that. So there was a game called Prey.
Mm.
Same name.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in, I think, 2007.
Yeah.
And it's about like a Native American guy who gets abducted by aliens.
Mm.
And it's got like some early Portal tech stuff and like...
I played that one.
Yeah. And then they started working on a sequel. That developer started working on a sequel called Prey 2.
Mm.
Mm.
I got to see a demo of Prey 2.
Oh, yeah.
When I was working at IGN in 2012. And then in 2014, I think they showed something at E3.
Yep.
And then they canceled it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
it was one that everyone was talking about at the E3 as well.
Yeah.
I remember that was like one of the big.
The vertical slice things. Was really impressive, but apparently they just couldn't get the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Up to that level.
It did look quite ambitious what they were like proposing.
Yeah. So this game is done by Arkane Studios.
Oh yeah.
So they did.
Dishonored.
Yeah. They did Deathloop.
Right.
Oh, right.
There's a game called Redfall that's coming out. They're doing.
Was Deathloop any good?
I don't know. I never played it.
Yeah, I never played it either.
I remember seeing something about it being super excited, and then by the time the game came out, I'd kind of forgotten about it, and then I didn't buy it.
Mm.
Apparently, it's great, but I haven't played it. Mm. Anyway, Bethesda owns the rights to Prey. They inherited the rights after all these developers went out of business.
Yeah.
And Arkane Studios was developing this game, and Bethesda is their publisher, and they said, you're going to call your game Prey.
It's so weird.
And they said, what? It's got nothing to do with Prey. And they're like, we don't care. You're calling it Prey.
That's so weird.
we're gonna brand it as a reboot, and apparently the developers had to publicly be like on board.
Yeah.
Privately were not on board. That's and then so after weird. The fact we're like, we really don't like we feel bad because people who played the original Prey.
Yeah.
Came into this expecting one thing, and if they loved it, they were like disappointed because it has nothing to do with that Prey.
Yeah.
And if they didn't like the original Prey, they didn't get our game.
Yeah.
So they're kind of damned either way. Anyway, I've been playing it. I'm really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of like BioShock.
Oh, okay.
I guess more like System Shock because it's in space.
Yep.
But I think the thing I really enjoy most about it is how thoroughly designed each level is and each the world of it is. Like, you go into any room, and generally speaking, there's like interesting verticality stuff happening. Like, you can crawl along the vents, and there's all these secrets to discover and explore. There's like an obstacle in your way, there's like, let's say there's like a fuse box that's broken, and it's zapping everything around it.
Yeah.
You've got a weapon called the glue gun, which just shoots like solid blobs of glue.
Yeah.
And you can use that to like temporarily disable the zapping.
Okay.
And then you can go in and fix it if you want, if you've got the right skill.
Yep.
Or you can look for another way around. There's often like vents above or maybe maintenance access ports on the floor. Or you can use your glue gun to make like a stairway and just climb over it.
Oh, wow.
Is
that like... Like, is that a actual skill you have, or is that just something that
it's just a mechanic.
Game allows you it's to like, kind of do? Like, you just realize, hey, I could make something I can, like, walk on.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So you said for the wires that you could repair them, though, if you had the skill for it.
Yeah.
What? How do the skills work?
So you've got skill trees, and they have costs that are paid in essentially a currency called neuromods, and you find them around the station. And narratively, there's a reason for that. You don't like earn them you can actually craft some as well. And it's got an interesting crafting system, which is another thing I really enjoy about this game. So pretty much any item you can pick up, and there's lots of different kinds of items you can pick up. You can then break down into raw materials and then build something else out of it.
Yeah.
At like a fabricator. And then there's an item in the game called a recycler charge, which is essentially a grenade that will turn anything in its radius into its base components.
Oh, wow.
And that includes items you can't normally pick up.
Yeah.
So if there's a shelf or something,
wow,
you can just toss a recycler charge
and
turn it into its base components.
Whoa.
So oftentimes you'll find a doorway and it's blocked by like a giant shelf. One way to get through is to throw a recycler charge.
Mm.
Another way to get through is to train in like a get neural mods that allow you to lift heavy things.
Yep.
Or you can like look for other ways around.
Yeah.
Other ways around. It's just there's so many ways to approach every problem in this game, and there's so much stuff in every room that I spend like way too much time scraping every single. I'm like, I clear the ground floor.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, oh, I just noticed there's like vents up there. So I start doing the vents, and then the vents will lead to tunnels. And will lead to like whole other rooms I haven't seen yet. And then it turns out that like that actually that room was connected to the first room in some interesting way. And then I discovered there's just like straight up secret like entrances and stuff. So like there's a part in the game. This is one of my favorite things about it is like this sort of open-ended problem solving.
Mm.
There's a part in the game where you're watching like a hologram of some scientists talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then and they give you some vital piece of information. And then there's another video that you can watch of them talking as well. And then that one seems to linger for a while. And they haven't turned off the recording. And the scientists walk off. And then I discovered that like you can view this hologram from a few different other angles. Like there's these screens. And you can see that he's actually walked into a different part of the room.
Oh, wow.
And he's like messing with something. And then the door, like the wall opens up and there's like all these items in there. And this is all in the hologram.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that means I can do that.
But you would have to watch that to the end and then realize it's not the end.
Yeah. Not
and,
just watch
and change
the end,
your perspective.
Change my perspective.
Wow.
And then I had to look around the room for the thing that he was manipulating, which was not in its original spot.
Oh,
and
wow.
So and
that
I
is
ultimately
so cool.
Is that's exactly my point. It's just like there's so much thought put into giving the player the tools they need and allowing the player to explore and figure things out on their own without being told these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I could hack into someone's computer or I could just chance upon the fact that their password is stuck to a post-it note underneath the desk.
The desk. That's a new spot instead of like right in front of the monitor.
Exactly. Or as I discovered, there was a recording of someone telling someone else, don't put your post-it note under the desk. People could find it.
So it was just, what is it? Was
that sounds fantastic.
It's really, it's fantastic.
There was, I think it was like Last of Us, right? Had a little bit of that, but then they always telegraphed like where to find like codes for doors and stuff.
Yeah.
Way too much that it just lost any feeling of like.
Of problem solving,
discovery. Yeah,
this game does not have that problem, and in fact, there's lots of things I haven't discovered, and I've just sort of hacked my way in. But there's a lot of things where I found a part of the clue, and I haven't found all of the clue.
That's cool.
And I'm like keeping it in my brain.
Yeah,
and then like I'll find the other part I need to put these things together. I'm like, oh, I know where to go, and I know what to do now.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you find this? Does it ever get overwhelming? The number of those things you need to remember.
I think without the fact that I could approach these problems in many different ways, it would.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because I could just hack into the computer or I could, you know, find some key card somewhere or whatever else, I can retain that information and decide whether or not it's, like, useful later. Like, I'll be like, I actually don't care about having that code anymore because I could just hack into that door or I found the key card for it and I just I can forget it. But sometimes I'll have this piece of information. I'll go looking for what I need to finish this puzzle or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you feel like because there's so many different like passages and things that do you feel like you have to 100% explore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think the biggest hang up for me.
Yeah.
And it's a personal hang up. It's not because of the game. It's just I want to open up.
Yeah, you want to experience everything. Yeah. I had the same thing with Dishonored. Yeah. Like you could just go through and do the objective.
Yeah.
But I would always feel like I have to 100% explore the entire area to get to feel everything. Like
you can move on.
Yeah.
I do that a lot in games as well, especially in like all the old Final Fantasies. I would just go around checking every bin, talking to every person.
Yeah.
I remember I used to have nightmares as a kid of these walls going past me and it was all from like Wolfenstein
because
I used to run along the walls and hit space bar on every wall to see if it would open.
You used to have nightmares of walls passing you by.
That's amazing. Because I would just get like lost in this maze of like trying to open.
There's got to be a secret somewhere.
There's going to be a secret eventually. Yep. And eventually there was, which just reinforces you to go around.
I think, Dark Souls has this as well, right? Where you just hit every wall that you think.
Once you know that there's a wall that you've got to hit and 70 times.
It doesn't help that everybody puts messages in front of every wall saying secret ahead.
Yeah.
I think you guys would enjoy Prey. It doesn't quite get to that level.
Yeah.
But there are secrets that I only discovered well after the fact that I have to go back and find. but they signal all these things really well. It gives you enough to go on the trail, but doesn't spell it out.
Okay.
And that's really satisfying.
That's cool. That game, like, talking about the name, I think it did suffer.
Oh, it absolutely did. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
The skill tree stuff is also really interesting. Like, there's the whole neuromod thing. Because at some point, you get access to alien powers.
Yep.
And you have to make a choice. You can start going down the alien skill tree really hard if you want.
Yeah.
But there are, like, turrets around the space station that are designed to detect alien.
Oh, no.
So if you go to alien,
then they'll start turning on you.
Oh, and so interesting.
There's just lots of consequences to your actions.
Yeah.
And there was a quest I did where there was a human involved, and I felt like this guy was sketchy, and I could have killed him when I had the chance.
Yeah,
I didn't, and it spiraled into a completely different quest.
Oh, whoa!
So there's just lots of cool stuff going.
Wow, yeah, that sounds really good. It sounds like because like what you're describing sounds a lot like what was in Dishonored.
Yeah,
but it just sounds like Dishonored this is
stepped
like
up and stepped then in up. Space.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of zero G stuff,
which
is really like fun and interesting.
Yeah,
you can go outside the space station and like
explore space.
But there's a lot going on.
Wow, cool.
It's really good.
You convinced me. I'm going to buy this. Did you say it was on special?
I got
or was.
It and two expansions for $17.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know there was expansions for it.
Yeah. One of them, I think, might be specific to VR, which I don't have. But I've got the expansion now.
Can you play that game in VR, then?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Would you think it would be good in VR?
I don't care.
I mean, I've got VR. I've got VR that I haven't used in like months.
You could probably play it in VR.
Do you think someone would want to play it in VR?
I've been enjoying it.
Like, would it be enhanced in VR in any way?
Like, I can't make that judgment call for you.
Should I play it in VR?
You could try.
All right, I'm gonna play.
Why not try it?
I'm gonna play it in VR and then tell you that the zero G made me throw up or something.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
which it might because it's like. It's full on, like any angle, any trajectory. And a lot of it is outside of the space station, but some of it is inside of the space station, and that's real fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, great game. I'm stoked to play more of it. I'm gonna finish it.
Whoa!
Because I finish games, guys.
Yeah. Cool. I still can't think of like a game recently that I finished.
Mine were like that recent. Oh, I finished every round of Super Auto Bets.
Oh, well, that's...
that but counts, have you maxed out every animal?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
So we've got some questions. We never answer questions. Let's answer some questions. How about that?
Okay. Do it.
We're pretty much out of time, but let's answer some questions. This is from SlipperyJim8. This is not really a question. This is more of a comment. Just said, I too found Red Dead a little too boring. Very much enjoyed the Bannerlord banter. Cheer. Mm,
that was months ago. I put that in there because... Wow, someone who wasn't into Red Dead.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's actually another game I suspect has some of that immersive sim
Oh yeah, it really does.
So I might have to get it back into it at some point, but it's just very slow.
Get back into Red Dead. That's another game I never finished.
Blake, this is from Fuwasan.
Yeah.
Have you ever reconsidered trying Dwarf Fortress? The Steam version is much more new player friendly.
Oh yeah. That I might be immersive. I have thought about that game because that's the like granddaddy of all these like village management sims that I'm always playing.
It's extremely, extremely deep.
Yeah, yeah. I should try it, but like honestly, originally the graphics just put me off because I didn't like the ASCII stuff.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Oh, well, take a look at the Steam version.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Steam version.
And this is from the last question. Aiden Cici, glad to see you guys like Doom Eternal. The weapon swapping has even more uses than enemy weaknesses. Nick mentioned that guns like the shotgun have a little animation after each shot. Weapon swapping bypasses that animation and even bypasses cooldowns like the sniper scope. So you can put out a huge amount of damage by doing something like rocket, swap to machine guns, sniper scope, swap back to rocket. I did actually know about this because the game specifically tells you this.
Oh, really?
It does. And I hate it.
Why? Why?
Because it, this is an example of, I think the developer adopting a mechanic from a previous game.
Mm.
So, like, I suspect in, like, one of the Dooms, this, or in some other id game, or in games in general, weapon swapping is faster than reloading. I think it happens in Counter-Strike, for example.
Yeah, it feels like a competitive,
yes,
like technique, you know?
And I like when... I like when a developer adopts something like that, but in this case, it to me it like breaks the fantasy a bit. Like, picture, from an outside perspective, what's happening when the Doom guy fires off his shotgun, and then swaps to his rocket launcher, and then swaps back to his shotgun, and his shotgun's loaded.
The bullets were in his pocket. He put the shotgun in his pocket.
Open
first. Yeah.
And then
he has all these holsters for his weapons that just auto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Auto reload when he
I don't think that's true.
Did you
and
ever
this is
watch,
why it annoys me.
Did you ever watch the Tomb Raider movies from the 2000s? Because there's a scene in there where she like unloads her clips and puts, like, she has clips already kind of on her back, like, ready to go. And she just puts her hands down, and they slide into the guns, and then, boom, she's got her clips back.
Yep,
it's that sort of thing.
Yeah, except that she, you know what she didn't do is...
swap to another weapon?
Put her hands behind her back, pull out a rocket launcher, and then...
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fair
can
enough.
Can you even see all the other weapons on him?
No.
They're all hidden somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, there's a lot of questions.
They're on in somewhere.
So
there is already like this mystery place where the weapons go.
Yeah.
I feel like it's fine for that mystery place to reload your weapons.
Yeah.
I guess like I would rather this be a mechanic that is specific to some weapons and thematically tied into the action you're performing.
What if they just didn't tell you this and you just found it out yourself? Would that be okay?
That would be a little bit better, I think.
I think them telling you is just kind of like, this is something you should be doing.
Yeah, I guess the
feels
thing is,
weird.
It tells you, is the fact that they tell you, but they haven't done anything to skin it in a sensible way.
Yeah.
In a way that makes sense in the universe. That's the biggest problem to me. So I hate that they have adopted this mechanic and done nothing to make it, to formalize it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other than say, this is this mechanic.
Mm.
I would love it if they... if there was some weapon that when you weapon swapped it, he the animation has him doing something and that makes sense that when he gets it back, it's reloaded.
Yeah.
But none of that exists.
Or if it's like a mod you can pick up that you can do and then all your weapons have this extra
something like that.
Or something like, yeah, I get it though. Something in universe that makes sense
instead
of just like, this is just a raw game mechanic.
Yeah. Like
it's happening just cause.
Like a lot of the weapons have two modes, and if it was when you swap modes, it reloads, and there is some sort of a thing associated with that. That could be cool, but I swap weapons specifically just feels a bit.
I think it looks a bit silly. I really think, especially
if you are watching like a high skill player playing, you're going to see them doing this all the time, and you're not going to know why.
Yeah,
unless you know why.
See, I think just not them not mentioning it at all and having it as something that you just discover would be kind of neat.
I guess I would prefer it
and
not
just
exist
be like,
at all.
Oh, it's a mechanic.
I think.
Yeah.
Like, why not just make that not a thing?
Yeah. It
There are also better ways to reduce reload time in games.
Yep.
Like Gears of, I think it was Gears of War was the maybe the first one. Actually, I don't know that that's true. Where like there's just a little bar that appears, and there's like a sweet spot on the bar, and if you hit the reload button again when it's when the things progress to that thing, you get like a to that button, then
speeds it up.
It halves the time it takes to reload, and I like really like that as a mechanic in shooting games, because it's like then it's a skill test of like how good you are at reloading, which works in any universe where you've got to reload.
Yeah, that is
you could be better at reloading.
Yeah, that is really good, because like how many times in games it's like you're stuck in a reload just waiting for the reload to happen, and while you're getting shot at, like, and you could be like timing your like click or something.
Into the Gungeon has a entire weapon based off this, where it gets faster and faster and more damage each time you get it successfully. Gets to the point where the bar is just like
it's too fast
flicking across the screen.
See, I think that's cool. That's like directly adopting
and
formalizing it in a way that the specialized tool weapon it's not a generalized mechanic. And anyway, that's my rant about
I was just going to say, I guess it's like how much you care about immersion, really, that matters.
It's not even immersion. It's like learnability from an outside perspective.
Mm.
You know, if I'm watching a good Doom player, I'm seeing this and I'm not understanding why.
Yeah.
That to me is...
You would see this in like Counter-Strike or Quake or kind of thing. And you'd know that there's a reason for them doing it. But like Doom is a single... Like it was Doom ever competitive like that? Like not in the same way where you'd need that level of like here's this like gameplay thing that I can take advantage of, like bunny hopping kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, like you know, like that thing of I can't remember is it Quake or something?
Quake had done bunny hopping.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Quake is very bunny hoppy.
It's the same kind of thing of as if like Doom was like pops up with a thing and says, If you bunny hop, you move faster, and then now you're just expected to bunny hop everywhere. It would be very like weird.
That might actually be the case in one of the Quake games.
Well, then it pops up and tells you that.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Quake though. Anyway. I'm thinking about Doom.
Anyway, we're out of time.
Yep.
We've answered all your questions, so send us some more frontseatquestions@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, and we'll try and answer them more often than once every year.
Yeah, some of them I had to just take off there because it's been like 2 years and you never got around to it.
Sorry. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have fun with Diablo. Now that we've talked about it, I don't think Blake's gonna play at all.
No, I want to keep playing. I didn't even like say all that much about it really, but like. It has, like, I've discovered, like, a little bit of build diversity that has got me interested.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it more next
time. Yeah, we can talk about it next time. Yeah.
And we'll be back in a couple weeks, hopefully.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Bye! Real talk, though, it's like only 2 months until Zelda.
Is it only 2 months?
Yeah.
Holy. I thought
maybe a month and a half.
Oh, my God.
It's like halfway through May that I think. That
Jesus. You know, I never actually look at when games release. Like, even though they're on the
track. On early access, that's it. Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, chances are...
Most of the games you play don't release.
Yeah, that's true. I did see... one of my mates, Fabian, posted, sent me a trailer of, like, a release trailer of a game that I've already played on Early Access.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, I've already played it. I'm not really...
Yeah, and this is the biggest problem with your whole Early Access.
My whole life?
Your whole life. All right, do you want to have a listen?
Yeah.